Yeah, and I think again, the reason why I wanted to have you share is because like you're a speaker, again, like you have a following and you have a successful practice. And so anyone would look at you and think that you didn't struggle with those issues.
Oh, 1,000%. And I was also good at faking it. I was also good at like just playing the role of like, hey, how's it going, everybody? Like I'm here to teach you guys about implants, or I'm here to show off my cases. Oh, it's great. But yes, I was making and still at, like I was making good money at the time, teaching courses, doing these baller cases with like that are super complex, having good outcomes, but in the inside, it was just like a fucking mess.
Welcome to the Magic of Transformation podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Zeller. Today on the show, I am joined by Dr. Frank Caputo. Frank recently completed my 10-month long course, Your Life's Work, and he is here to share with you today the massive changes that he has been able to create in his career and his personal life, all from taking this course. He went from feeling lost and burned out to lit up and more successful than ever. And that is what I want for you, too, my friend. That is possible for us all. I created the exact roadmap to get you there. And that is what Frank is going to talk about today. His personal experience, his revelations, all the shifts he has made. And how he is now on this amazing path aligned with his purpose, more successful than ever, and more importantly, happier than ever before. If you want to take all the things that we talk about in this podcast and actually implement them so your life gets better too, my course, Your Life's Work, is open for enrollment right now. And if you apply soon, you will get $500 off as an early bird enroller. You can see the link to this 10-month course, Your Life's Work, in the show notes. You can also find this course, Your Life's Work, at thetransformationschool.com. I'm also going to put a free course of how to ditch the burnout and create a career your soul's been begging for in the show notes below. If you know somebody who is feeling burned out, doesn't love going to work every single day, forward them this episode. And if you enjoy this episode, be sure to follow and subscribe and give me a 5-star review wherever you listen. Without further ado, enjoy the episode. Okay, so welcome to the show, Frank Caputo. So happy to have you here. One reason I really wanted to have you on is because I think that your transformation has been so huge. So you took my course, you took a couple of courses of mine, but the main one you took is Your Life's Work, which is my career course. I really wanted to have you on because where you were at before you took the course is, I think, so relatable for people in a lot of different fields, but particularly people in dentistry. And because you have like a following in dentistry and because you've had a lot of success in dentistry, I think people, dentists in general, and this again goes like across several different industries, but there's this belief that if people have success, they must be super, super happy.
Yeah, that's a very common belief that I'll see.
And so that's, I think, why I really wanted to have you on to talk about your journey because you had success and yet you weren't super happy, but I don't want to put words into your mouth. What I would like to hear you first expand on is how you felt in your life and in your job when you and I first connected.
Yeah, so it all started when I had, I think I've always had really good awareness, and I just got to this place in my career and in my life, and I was like, I'm not doing well. Not clinically or financially, or it was all internal. I just wasn't feeling like me, and I was having this just kind of like this little bit of crisis. So I was like, okay, what do I want to do about that? And just to expand on that, like, what does that even mean? For me, it was I wasn't enjoying my time at the office. I was enjoying my time at home as much as I could. I wasn't super jazzed up to go and teach or speak anymore. I was just in that. And all the while, it perpetuates a cycle of like, what's going on with me? Why don't you just force it and it'll come? And it wasn't coming. And even just down to things like enjoying tennis with friends. And I was just always like, just throwing my shoulders up going like, I have no idea. Like, why am I don't even like this. What am I doing? And so all of that kind of compiled into like, okay, I've got to start making some change. I don't know which direction. There's got to be this big mountain to climb. I just don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So I felt definitely lost. I felt like there were so many triggers at the office that spiraled me out, and they were so benign. The phone ringing, which you'd think would be like a really cool thing in your practice, but the phone ringing, my brain would be like, what now? And just any little thing that went wrong would just send me into like this big spiral. Certainly I started, I was like, oh, I think I know what to do. I'll talk to my therapist. I'll see her more often and maybe it'll make everything better. And it didn't do as much as I wanted to. It certainly helpful, certainly some advantages there, but it didn't strike all the boxes. And so I can't even remember what it was about, what started me to like go down the path of like learning about your life's work. I don't know if it was listening to your podcast. I don't know if it was an Instagram. I know that you always came up on my feed and I was like, oh, I know Stephanie. She's an amazing prosthodontist. Oh, she does amazing work. It looks like she's transitioning into this space of like helping people. And I don't know if I just kept going down that route. I'm struggling to remember what it was, but I was like, I was down. I was really looking forward to taking the course, but it wasn't for the reasons of like, sometimes I think there might be some confusion with like, do I want to change careers? Do I want to do something like, I don't even like dentistry. It wasn't that as much as there was a lot to the explanation of your life's work that was about taking back like your power and your confidence. And that spoke to me. So that was really big for me as far as like trying to get back to where I find joy and peace, for the love of God, peace. Because it just felt like there were so many loud voices going on in my head that I couldn't focus. And so joining in, I had no clue what to expect. Certainly, I was a little skeptical. I think I was a little abrasive in my texts to you when we first met. And I was very skeptical about like, is this even going to do anything? Or am I, you know? And so I signed up for your life's work. And just to summarize, there's a whole different version of myself that I love going on today versus 18, 19 months ago. Like there is such a shift internally, maybe externally people can tell, or my wife can tell, I don't know, but it's so different in this head than it used to be in such a positive way. Like I just, how I live each day is so different than I used to. And I'm happy to like just talk through all that.
A couple of questions about where you were at initially when you signed up. How long had you been feeling that way?
Like a year.
Okay.
I was kind of cruising for like a year of just like, ugh, what am I doing?
And you did therapy to try and make it better. And you mentioned just trying to force it. I think that's a really common thing, thinking, I mean, I remember feeling this when I was unhappy in my career, feeling like I was broken and something was wrong with me. And so just trying to force like positive thinking and just trying to force myself to be grateful. And like you said, just kind of trying to force it. Is there anything else that you did to try and solve the way that you were feeling? I mean, I know like a common one for people is like taking more courses or yeah. Is there anything else that you did?
I was really into just shutting down.
Okay. Yeah.
And being alone and scrolling on my phone.
Yeah.
But I know what you're getting at. I mean, I took the same courses I always would go to. I signed up for more like opportunities to teach, thinking that would help me. Maybe it's just I have to change what I'm teaching or how I'm teaching it, or I have to redo all my PowerPoints. Maybe that'll help me gear up and or change the how I'm doing certain procedures so it can be closer and closer to someone I saw on Instagram. Or, you know, I was trying to change a lot. Maybe I need this equipment. Oh, I gotta buy this.
Yeah.
And I was way into doing that. But for the most part, I would just walk around kind of a little bit more shut down and short with people and snapping at my staff and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of a dark time.
Yeah. I feel like when I spoke with you, at least according to my recollection, you actually were wondering if dentistry was the right path for you.
I was, because I wasn't.
Like, you couldn't figure it out, right?
I couldn't figure it out. I wanted to be there. Okay. So yes, there was a big point in time. So I'm in a heavy surgery and prosthetics practice, and patient emotions and tensions can be kind of high at times. And if I'm unregulated, my patients were unregulated as well. And that's kind of what I was attracting. And so what happened was I was just getting so stressed out and bogged down in super benign things that I was thinking about being completely done with like dentistry altogether. And that moment was pretty significant for me. So you're not wrong. I was like, maybe I want to go to law school. Maybe I should take the LSAT prep course, which, come to find out, I don't even have to take the LSAT. But I was like, maybe I want to go to law school. Maybe I want to do something in finance. I just don't want to be responsible for these patients' lives anymore.
Yeah, that's so common for dentists.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm so done listening to patients and complaints and health history stuff of like, you know, and this, and my tooth is weirdly shapen, and it's like, no, it's not. But these little benign things were always like getting to me. And then by like module three, I figured out why. Because I had this idea in my head of pleasing everybody. I wanted everyone to be happy. I want all my patients to be happy. There was some course I took and someone said, you should only be getting two phone calls, one to schedule an appointment and two to thank you and praise you and tell you how amazing you are.
Wow.
And so I'm like internalizing that, like, how come my practice is not like that? Someone's calling and saying something busted or broke, or, and I'm like, oh, see, Frank, there you go again. Disappointing your patients. And I believe this in my heart. And then I just look in the mirror and be like, man, maybe this isn't for you.
Mm.
Maybe, you know, and you'd start believing these beliefs of maybe I suck at this, or maybe I'm not good. But I'd see my cases and afterwards I'd be like, damn, I did a good job. But I wouldn't really believe it. So there was a big element of confidence that was not there.
Yeah. And I think, again, the reason why I wanted to have you share is because, like, you're a speaker, again, like, you have a following and you have a successful practice. And so anyone would look at you and think that you didn't struggle with those issues.
Oh, 1,000%. And I was also good at faking it.
Yeah.
I was also good at like just playing the role of like, hey, how's it going, everybody? You know, like, I'm here to teach you guys about implants, or I'm here to show off my cases. Oh, it's great. But yes, I was making, and still, like, I was making good money at the time, teaching courses, doing these baller cases with like that are super complex, having good outcomes. But in the inside, it was just like a fucking mess. Like, it was just every little thing would take all my power from me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it happens a lot more common. Like, you start talking, and then I started talking about it. Recently, I started talking about it in my speaking engagements. And then afterwards, like, the line would form of like, oh my God, I felt that way. That's how I feel now. And I'm like, really? And they're like, I can't believe you felt that way. You're like, I want to be like you when I grow up. And I'm feeling You're telling me that you're feeling how I feel now? Like that's insane to them.
Yeah. So you can really serve as a beacon of hope for people, because I think when we get to that point in our career, especially a career like dentistry or any health care career, or, you know, as you know, I work with attorneys in your life's work and any professionals like executives, et cetera, et cetera. When we've put so much time and energy and money into a career and then we're not happy, it can feel so devastating and disorienting. And what I see most people doing is kind of what you said in terms of just shutting down, like going in. I see them like, you know, having more drinks at night, trying to go on more vacations. And then, of course, there's like the trying to go to more courses, trying to find some sort of inspiration, trying to fix it by reading books or listening to podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. And then a lot of times people come to me when all those things haven't worked and they're just like, oh my God, I don't know what else to do. And, you know, as you know, that's what happened to me. And that's why I created Your Life's Work, is to give people a path for what to do when that happens. So what I'd love to talk about now is shift into how you are feeling now, and things have changed because, as we were chatting about before we started, things have changed in so many ways in your life. So maybe let's start with a couple of big like aha moments or revelations you had throughout your life's work. And everybody that takes the course has different revelations that create really big shifts for them in their life. So these are just yours, but I still think it'll be really helpful for people to hear what sort of revelations you made. So let's start there.
Absolutely. So there's a list of revelations, right, that I came across. Some were big, some were small. But I think the main things for me on the early end of Your Life's Work were learning about how my brain thinks, learning about what default pathways my brain goes to in the presence of a trigger or something like that. And learning and uncovering these super outdated operating systems that my brain was working off of. So a situation would come up and then 7-year-old conditioned Frank would take over the brain and be like, okay, we're going to choose to react like this because this is how your brain was conditioned to think. And uncovering and healing those parts was insane. Like it was, I can't even describe it. Like it was such a, that started the shift. That's what lit the fire that I built all this momentum off of reprogramming my brain's way of thinking and catching those 7 and 10 and 12 and teenage years, catching those parts up and letting them know, like when I first started, I was like, oh my God, this is so woo woo kind of. And I was like, no, it's not. This is, when you start seeing the shifts, you're like, oh my God, I used to just jump into these conclusions because of some event that happened when I was a kid. And when you catch those parts up, I don't get triggered like I used to. I don't immediately feel like I have to abandon myself just to have a patient like me. Because I always thought if I could get them to like me and I can say things that make them feel safe and that they like me, then everything's going to be okay. And then it's like you learn to become more authentic and to let that part start to shine and come out. And all of a sudden, things become a lot more joyful and clear. And that annoying voice in your head that's monitoring every word you're saying to somebody and filtering out, like, okay, you know, and you're an active dialogue with somebody and your brain's filtering through, how can you change the conversation to people please? What more can I take on my plate so you like me? And I was doing that with patients and colleagues and saying yes to all these things that didn't really light me up, but I just felt like it was like I needed to do that. In learning that those things I signed up for had no, they weren't creating any fire in me. And like you said, you know, you try to take courses and try to find that, how can I get that hit? For me, it was like, I would wake up on a Saturday morning and I'd be like, hey, to my wife, you know, I'm gonna go check out some cars. I don't know why. I'm just gonna go look, you know. And then I'd waltz into like a Porsche dealership. Like I did this once. I went into a Porsche dealership. I bought this Porsche for an insane amount of money. And I came home and I was like, I got a new car. I'm so excited. And that didn't do it either. It was like 3, 4 weeks in. I was like, well, this was like stupid. I don't feel any joy with this. And now I buy things that light me up, make me just unbelievably happy. So that was just one example.
Yeah, building that internal foundation of joy first. Then, once that's there, which is like a big emphasis of the course, is trying to figure out how to have inner joy without needing things external to you to create the joy. But then once you have that inner joy, that inner foundation of joy, then everything you do in your life and the things that you buy and the places that you go, like really do bring you sustainable joy.
Oh my God, yeah. So those are some of the ahas of like reprogramming and catching up that version of myself to the present. Another aha was learning how to actually trust myself, and that when I trust myself and do things from an authentic place, then the joy follows it. And it had to start small for me. Like I had to do these little baby steps of like trust and trust my decisions before I could take it all the way to like being confident in my decisions at work or at home or whatever we were, you know, for doing something like making a choice for me, not like I'm gonna do this or make a choice because it'll make someone else like happy.
I find that people who haven't done a lot of personal transformation work, or maybe they've even done therapy, but they haven't done the kind of work we do in your life's work, they think they're being authentic when they haven't realized that they're not yet. How would you describe that to somebody, like the way that you were before versus the way that you are now in terms of your authenticity? How does it feel different?
The best way to describe it is that I feel at home now inside. And I there were moments, of course, in my life where I felt that and I had that and it didn't hang around for too long. I don't know, something clicked and it was familiar to me, like what authentic felt like. And I wasn't there, but the best way I could describe it is it feels like home. And I was not talking about thing like I was always observing the world, right? And I wouldn't insert myself because maybe there was a part of me that didn't feel like I deserved to be at the table, if that makes sense. So I was quiet and observing, and then I would use humor all the time. Oh, let me be funny because that makes all these people laugh. And it doesn't matter how abrasive the joke is or how it didn't matter to me if it got someone to laugh, you know, I was really using that as my way of like navigating the world is through humor, even if I was still feeling kind of dead inside. But I will say about therapy, my therapist knew right away that I was involved in something because I started asking questions and then she's like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "Okay, so I'm taking this course and here are some of the things where," and she was in love with it. So what happened over the next year was it took my therapy and put so many steroids in it. Like we amplified, we broke through so many things and it just took its sword. And it was amazing. Like we just kept going through stuff afterwards and it was great. Amplified it.
Yeah, as you know, I'm a huge fan of therapy, to be clear. I've had some therapists actually reach out to me and say, I love this because one of their clients has been taking this course. And yeah, then they start getting all these different breakthroughs in therapy. So it makes the job way more fun and enjoyable for the therapist as well. Yeah, it's awesome.
I think I know why, though, because you have to actually sit down and do the work.
Yeah, say more about that.
So, in your life's work, there's modules, and you have to sit down and journal and write and uncover things and spend some time doing some guided meditation and then journal about that.
Yeah. And to be clear, just to throw this in here, it's not just like, I think people get confused when they hear journaling. They think, oh, I'm just going to write. It's guided, right? There's like questions, answers, videos to learn curriculum, et
Yes.
cetera.
Yes. But when you do that, you're forcing yourself to address things versus like therapy. It's like I'd meet once a week or once a month and we would talk and this situation came up. And I think my therapist, she was probably getting even a little bit annoyed, like enough with this. One day she did finally address it. She was like, every week with you, it's like we got this story arc of like things are going good and then this happened and then they're not good. She's like, I'm just tired. And I was
Wow.
like,
Wow.
maybe she probably was kinder than that, but the tone and the message was really clear. And then I started going through your life's work and it was like we started having fun again. Because I was addressing the things that were causing the angst to begin with.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how this whole the first like half of your life's work helps you dive into that. There's so many other things in the first half as well, but that was one thing that resonated with me was diving in and doing actual freaking work. Not talking and not like I'm just doing the stuff. I'm sitting, I'm committing, I'm spending the time that I allotted for this in the evenings or in the early morning, whatever I wrote down as my time frame of like, and I told my family, this is what I'm doing. This is if I'm, on a computer or whatever it is, this is what I'm doing. So leave me be.
Yeah.
And once it's like, it doesn't happen right away, but all of a sudden you start looking back at intervals, like after a couple of months and then a couple more months and things just start clicking.
What do you mean by clicking? Like what shifts did you start to notice?
The default pathway of my brain in response to like a trigger or a stimulus, like something that would usually spiral me out, would not anymore. And it was subtle, but I would start thinking about, like I'll give you an example of like when I would encounter like a complication, something that just happens, not my fault, not the patient's fault, but the implant fell out. No reason, no health issues, everything was fine. And oh, it would kill me inside, it would break my heart. Or a patient would have like a post-op complication after surgery that needed to be addressed. Everything went great, but it would just kill me. So I used to just spiral out in anxiety and I would have a few extra bourbons that night or something like that. But instead, it's like now my default voice in my head just says, hey, chaos is always going to happen. Issues and complications are always going to come up. And things are always going to be goofy when patients are always going to be a little weird and just surrendering and saying, yeah. I'm always going to know what to do though when these situations come up. I know enough to know how to handle all this stuff. And all of a sudden, those new mantras start formulating in your head in real time. And now the situation's not taking the power away from me because my beliefs have changed and shifted.
Yeah.
And so for a little while, it was your voice. But now it's mine.
Yeah.
It was like
Cool.
your voice was in my head a lot, and then all of a sudden, then it turned into my own voice.
Yeah. Well, and that's what reprogramming the inner narrative is, right? Of actually changing those inner narratives and creating a different program. And I think the mistake a lot of people make is like they'll hear you say this. Like maybe some people are listening to this right now and they'll hear you say this and they'll say, "Oh yeah, okay, I'm just going to tell myself the same thing. I'm going to just like when that comes up, I'm just going to tell myself the same thing." 'Cause people think that's how you do it. You just have to tell yourself it. But there's such a difference between like the positive thinking and like forcing yourself and trying to tell yourself that versus just having that natural new voice come up spontaneously, right?
You can't put your hands to your temples and be like $100 million, a hundred
Right.
million. That's not how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because undoubtedly, I feel like there's going to be some self-limiting belief that blocks you from that anyway.
Right. Right. Yeah. So the program is super scientifically backed and gives you tools to change the inner dialogue to reprogram those operating systems so that you naturally start having those loving, positive voices in your head that are talking to you versus the ones that are just tearing you down and telling you that you're a piece of shit all the time.
Well, the self-judgment for me was powerful. Like I would walk around with all this self-judgment, and anything that went wrong, it would be, Frank, you're a piece of shit. Shouldn't be doing this anyway. What are you doing? You're a shitty husband. You're probably a shitty dad, Frank. And that judgment voice, it was loud. And then throughout the course and the shifts and the reprogramming, and you really do learn how to become kinder to yourself and give yourself some grace and actually believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you could say, cut yourself some slack, you won't believe it. And then you start doing the re you know some of these exercises, and then slowly you get to that, I'm not judging myself so hard anymore. I'm still demanding. I still demand a really high level of work out of myself and engagement, but I'm not judgmental. There's a difference.
Yeah, I love that you said that because I think a lot of people that are high level performers or high achievers, they think it's that self-judgment and that inner critical voice or their anxiety that's driving them to be great. And once you can shift that into like a self-loving voice, it's been my experience, and I'd love for you to tell me yours, but it's been my experience that I actually get greater because then I don't have all these voices tearing me down. So I actually achieve more.
1,000%. Yeah. I mean, I said earlier, I made really good money. Versus now, I'm happy to report, like I make more money.
Yeah, right.
And I don't mean that in like a braggadocious way. It just flows a lot easier to me now. Like speaking engagements flow easier. People are calling me out of the blue. Can you come talk? And I'm naming my price, and it's not, doesn't feel, gross, and it's authentic, and I'm patients are having consults with me and accepting treatment after meeting me, and I just got rid of like the grippiness of it all. So in turn, as a side effect, you start making more, even more money, and you're doing what you Hopefully, what you love to do. For me, my own personal transformation through this was after doing all this deep digging and all this deep work, I still loved dentistry.
Yeah.
I still love doing surgery. And I love, like, we're talk we there's this component where we're talking about entering those flow states. And after doing all the work, it still was when I'm in my surgical suite and the patient's asleep and the anesthesiologist is there, and I just turn into like flow mode. The music is going. My hands are just doing stuff and everything's just like coming together, and and after I'm all done, I'm like, oh, I want to do this again. I felt great knowing, like, it just reaffirmed, like, no, you're on the right track with dentistry. You love it, but it's just not killing me slowly.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I really want to pause on that because like to think about the transformation of in the beginning, you just like really shutting down and feeling triggered all the time and feeling exhausted, wondering if you even want to leave to all of a sudden, I mean, not all of a sudden, to after the work that you put in,
Yeah.
right? To feeling in deep flow and super fulfilled and having an exponential degree of more success. And that is the result of putting in the actual right work, right? And everything that you did. And I mean, your success isn't isolated. Like I think it's something like 80 to 90% of people that graduate from your life's work are making more money by the time they're done. And that's the interesting thing about it. Like when we are enjoying what we're doing and we're not hating ourselves and our lives and our work, we do have more success.
Yeah. For me, it was a difference between, Yeah. I love what I do. I love my job. This is great. Versus like, I really love what I do.
Yeah.
There's a difference. So that's why I said earlier, like, people might not know that there was any shifts. I'm sure they do. But like,
well, you've had several people say they've noticed big shifts in you, right?
Of course. Yeah. But I notice it internally every day. Every day. And are there still stressors? Yeah. But do they knock me down to where I'm powerless and I'm drinking three bourbons and spiraling out? No.
Yeah.
So that's what was so powerful. And God, when you start looking back at all the little wins throughout the entire course, and now like I'm sustaining my momentum after the course with more coaching and just trying to stay on a consistent path just so, to solidify everything that I learned. So it's not going away, you know, and it's still serving me. I mean, I'm how many months out from finishing the course am I? Like 6 months or whatever it is? Like, I'm still feeling happy and joyful. And I am just talking to myself kinder.
Yeah.
And my beliefs of myself have changed. And so it is good.
Yeah. So tell me about how a day at the office feels different to you now, including like maybe your interactions with patients and staff and team.
I'm a lot more present with my team. I'm intentional with them. I am not afraid to bring up difficult things with them. I'm not hunkering down, like trying to boost myself up so I can have a tough conversation with somebody. I just have the tough conversation.
Yeah.
And so I'm showing up as a better leader. I'm showing up as a more authentic leader. And I think that they can tell because I don't really have any staff turnover anymore. I haven't had a change in my team in a long time, like in the last year. Whereas it wasn't that uncommon to have like someone move on or change and this isn't quite the right fit for me. Or we've got us, this is the best team I've had. And I don't want to like, I don't want to change it, but like, this is the best team I've had. And I think, I hope that they enjoy coming to work and they enjoy working together with me because we all are, is how I show up as a leader is entirely different. What I used to think a leader was versus what a leader is for me, totally different animals. But patients, though, too, are how I interact with them and how I project myself and how I show up is so different. Where it used to be like a complication or something would come up, whether it was a prosthetic or surgical or money issue, or I got to ask them for more money because things aren't going the way I thought they would and now it's going to be more expensive. How that conversation plays out used to be like so grippy and like, don't be mad at me. And it's so different now. So it's like, I'm not trying to be commanding with a patient, but somehow the projection is like, I've created this little container for them to feel safe in. Like it's this, don't worry, I've got you energy that they're feeling and they respond to it. Like I've had more patients in the last 6 months say, I trust you than I've ever had in my career of 15 years.
Oh, beautiful.
When they're like, no, I trust you. And when they, if someone ever used to say or say that to old me, I'd be like, yeah, you just wait. I don't know if I trust me, let alone you trust me.
Wow.
Now when they say like, I trust you, I just thank you. That means a lot to me. So here's what we're going to do. And we move on with treatment, whatever it might be, or we address the complication and I'm not triggered and my stomach's not in knots all day waiting for that patient to come in with the complication. Because whatever it's going to be, I'll know what to do when I see it. So why stew on it now?
Yeah.
It's very, very different.
And what about outside of work, like with colleagues, friends, family? How has that shifted?
We'll start with family. Give me a second. because that shift was, for me, pretty big. How I show up as a dad is pretty meaningful to me, to say the least. God, that's a hard one to articulate, but it's so much more, like, I'm so engaged and present, and I'm listening to my kids, and they're just kids. What do they have to say that's meaningful? But I'm listening, and I'm taking time, and I'm not hollering at them when they're not listening. I'm interacting with them, and we're playing more, and they love being together with me, I think. Like, I mean, you have to ask them, but like, they're just kids. They're 7 and 2. I mean, but my 7-year-old and I are just bonding. And then more importantly than even that is just my interaction with my wife, like just how I show up when I get home. Very similar thing. I have this container at home now, like, you're safe here. Like, to my wife, like, it's like, you're safe here. And we're definitely the epitome of like teammates at home. Like, we're in it together. But for a long time after taking the course, I wondered what was her opinion of this teammate ship that we have going on. Like, because the way that I was so internalizing everything and tucking it and not addressing things, in her shoes, I'd be so concerned, like, is he okay? You know? And when I show up differently now, it's this, like, I keep using the word container, but this safety net of like, we've got this. And now there's been times where she can allow herself to relax and know that I've taken care of certain things, and I've showed up.
Yeah.
As a husband of our house, as a father to the kids, and I think I can see some of the relaxation in her face of like, hey, we're all, like, we've got it. We don't have it all figured out, because who the hell does, but we're going to be all right. We're going to tackle this, like, whatever problems or whatever it might be. So that was powerful.
And just to reflect that as a woman, I think it's almost every woman that I've worked with, it's their dream, particularly in hetero relationships, where their male counterpart can have an energy of, I've got this. And there's something about having a man that is in command and in an energy of, don't worry, I've got this, that can feel so good to a woman in her body. So, and that's I've seen a lot of men step into that more through your life's work. And that's one of those beautiful, you know, as you know, in your life's work, we don't, even though the focus is career, we talk so much about other things. We talk about boundaries. We talk about relationships. We talk about money. We talk about codependency. We talk about health, like all these other things. But that's such a beautiful, I almost want to say, like, I guess, side effect or outcome of a lot of men is they're in so much more power and command and confidence when they step out the other side. That's so real versus in the beginning, maybe there's a confidence there, but it's almost like it's on shaky ground.
Yeah. I always thought like my role is this, like, I guess what you would call like this toxic masculine role. And I was like, I don't want to be that. But then the opposite of that for me was like this grippy, like,
worrying you're doing something wrong
thing around the house. Yeah, like, I gotta walk on eggshells. I won't make my wife angry, because if I do, you know, I'll get in trouble. And all I had to do was just show up differently, show up as myself. And that makes a big difference. Structure and flow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm finding there's more times my wife probably used to have to hold structure at work and then come home and hold structure at home. How exhausting. And now it's like we share those roles a little bit more, and we play off of each other a little bit more. And my masculine energy when I'm home is not this toxic, like, you know, spitting or anything like that. It's just a different presence. It's more of like, I've got this too. Like, I've got this figured out with you. here at home. And I think that does feel good because she can relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what about with colleagues? How has anything changed there? Or friends?
I certainly think so, but it's hard to measure. I think I've been getting a lot more referrals for work than I ever have. Like when people don't know what to do in certain situations, all of a sudden my phone rings and they need help and I'm here to help them. And I'm getting referrals of like, can you just help me with this case? Or can you do the surgery for the case and I'll do the prosthetics? And I'm in what world is, I never thought of that happening.
Yeah.
Like when I have local periodontists and an oral surgeon telling patients, just go see Frank, here's his card. And like, they do the same service as I do. And they're like, just go see Frank, you need this. And that was such a turning point for me. Like, whoa, things are different now. And that was insane to me. Like I was, first, I didn't know what to do with that energy. I was like, wait, what? Like, you want me? You can do this. And they're just like, not like you. And I'm like, holy shit, things are changing. And that's so colleagues wise, I think that there's definitely a shift in how I show up with them. And I'm not gripping to like prove to my colleagues about like, look at this case I did, or look at that case I did. And here's what, let's talk about, like, now I'm like, I don't even care. I don't even want to talk about dentistry.
Yeah.
Like, tell me about how you balance your life coaching your kid's baseball team and then doing all this other stuff. Like, tell me about your kid. Like, I don't want to talk about teeth with you now. Like, it's so different.
And what I want to draw the listeners' attention to is that it's not like your surgical skills got exponentially better. You were already good at that.
Yeah.
So the shift that people are feeling was your internal shift, right?
Agreed. Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, I don't think a lot of people would believe that. It's like, so you're saying that I'm going to have more success. More people are going to want to come see me. More people are going to refer to me. More people are going to want to learn from me. All from changing something inside.
Yep.
Yeah.
What kind of shit is that? Well, it's real. It's very real and palpable and measurable. And I am living it.
And like you said, you were so skeptical. I think you said, what was the thing that you said to me? Like, what if this is all bullshit? Like, what if your course,
what if this is all bullshit, Stephanie? Yeah. Can I have my money back? Like, and I eat crow for that. I was like, I felt bad after I said that. But because I was trying to people please you, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Don't be upset with me.
Which I wasn't, by the way, right?
I know, like, but I was sensitive to it. I was like, oh, geez, Frank, a little aggressive there. But I don't know what it was. Like when you and I spoke on the phone, maybe it was because you created a container with me. I felt safe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I want people, especially on those initial calls, I want people to be able to voice all of their skepticism and concerns, right? And
yeah.
Like I'm a safe place to do that.
I felt safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt so safe to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then when we got in this container for the next year and it unfolded, and now I still connect with our cohort. Like we still chit chat, and what a fun place that was. Like that was the ultimate safety net inside of your life's work was the cohort, the group.
Yeah.
I love those guys. Like we connected so deep. It was wild. Like just how, like the, I never even met them in human form, but we connected deeper than so many people I've met in my life. That was cool.
Yeah. And everyone changed so massively. So it's,
oh my God. So much.
Yeah.
It was weird to see in real time though. And we'd all have moments of clarity and then moments of like, what the fuck is going on? And then moments of clarity again, and this spiral of like expansion and coming back down. And like, and it wasn't like a linear, like you explained it like that. Like it wasn't linear. It's not like just like this line going up exponent. It's like a crazy spiral. And then finally, like things start clicking more often than not, and you're moving in the right path that's specific to you. We all grew differently in our own way. Oh, that was fun.
I love hearing that you guys still connect. I didn't know that, but I like, because I don't always hear from people when they finish the cohort. So it's so amazing to hear that you're still connecting with them and that you kind of hold a place in your heart and your memory for the experience.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, I still like talking with the other group members.
So I think to close, from your heart, what do you say to anybody in any field right now that if they're honest with themselves, they don't love what they do? Like they're not going into work excited. Maybe some of them are at the point you were at where they're like, oh my God, I'm so down. And maybe some of them aren't even all the way down, but they're just like, yeah, I mean, I'm dealing, right? Like I don't love it, but I'm just kind of dealing with it. What do you say to that listener?
I would tell you that there is a huge world out there for you in terms of your internal joy. And that internal joy is you'll find out it's been there the whole time, but you weren't tapped into it. And it's so hard at this point, in this moment, to wrap your head around what could be until you start to see it. And I know that if you're dealing like, oh, I'm making it fine. I've got enough. I'm doing fine. There's so much more to be had from an internal joy perspective. And if you're downright just hating your career, you will get the clarity you need going through your life's work. It will become clear, not right away, but it will be insanely clear for you what path is next. So for me, it was just continuing dentistry, which I will. This type of dentistry, this little niche that I'm in, is beautiful.
So if anybody wants to reach out to you and see what you're doing, because you're doing amazing things in dentistry, how can they find you?
I'm probably the most active on Instagram, and my handle is F Caputo DDS. And that's probably the most common place you'll find me the active. So
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for being here.
thank you for having me. I feel like casually thanking you. Thanks for changing my life, by the way. That was cool, right? Like, it's so casual to say thank you to somebody. Like, hey,
Yeah,
that
well,
was.
thanks for being courageous, and for stepping into, I mean, that's why I love people that take your life's work. They're at that I'm done moment. They're ready for a change. Even if they're super skeptical, like you were, there's still a part of them that's like, all right, let's do this. Let's try it. And that takes bravery. And that's why I love the kind of people that sign up for your life's work.
Yeah, I was so curious. I was so curious, and it was great. And I'm always here for questions too. Like if someone has like a question about taking it, I formally will say like I'm okay answering that phone call. It just has to be like we'll do a quick blurb about it. But you could also just listen to this episode again. So like, it's probably the same thing I'll talk about on the phone call. So
Awesome. Thank you.
yeah, thank you.
If you liked today's episode, share it with a few friends that you think could benefit and leave me a 5-star review wherever you listen. Thank you for doing that. I so appreciate you. And don't forget to follow or subscribe to the show so you don't miss future episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.